Let's talk about writing things down. I think writing stuff down has been both a superpower and sometimes a curse for me. So I want to talk about it. Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions. And that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics. I like to write things down. I also like having the option to not write things down. Let's take an example of meetings. So when I go into a meeting, I like to take a notebook and a pen, and I open the notebook to a blank page. This blank page allows me and others to be ready for me to listen. So it indicates to me, myself, a note to say, listen to other people, to let them talk. I also think that it's a respectful thing to show that I am ready to take notes and take action items if somebody brings something up. Now, sometimes I have something I want to talk about in the meeting. So where do I put that? I usually put those in bullets on the next page. So the first page is blank. It's ready for me to listen. The next page will have a few bullets if I want to make sure that I don't forget those. Now, it's important for me to write those down on the next page, because if I don't write those down, I will think about the stuff I want to talk about, and not really be listening to other people. So writing those down allow me to keep an open mind and open ears and listen before I get into that. Now, if I am the one holding the meeting, then it is, I think, reverse. It's respectful to have a few bullets at the top to let people, it indicates to other people in the room that I have something I want to talk about. I still might ask questions or ask people how they're doing first, but it gives the appearance from other people that it's an agenda there, that I have an agenda so that I'm not wasting people's time. And I think it's respectful. How about digital stuff? So I use a notebook. What about digital? And this is just a personal thing for me. I know some people bring their notes or write notes on digital formats. Digital tablets, I think, are a cool idea I want to try. However, if it's a laptop or your phone that you're writing things down on, I actually just don't believe you. But even if I do believe you, my default feelings are you're doing something else. You're being bored with the meeting. You're bored with my discussion, and you're looking up, YouTube videos or looking up on your Mastodon feed or something. Now, even if that's not true, there's just a part of me that thinks you're doing something else, or maybe you're reading email, which is disrespectful during a meeting. So even if you're not, I think a paper and pen works better. You might have a tablet that's blank, and that would work fine also, or like a digital tablet. Okay, so what do I write down? So if I'm in a meeting, I have a tendency to want to write complete sentences, but that's not going to help. I'm not going to be able to write the whole thing down and listen at the same time. So I'm trying to write keywords down to remind me of the topic we discussed. And I try to write enough keywords that I'll actually remember the whole thing. So sometimes they are whole sentences, if that allows, but I try to just do shorthand sentences. Also, definitely to-do items. And I'll even put a box next to to-do item to remind me that I have agreed to do something. Also, something I need to follow up on, even if it's like some other team member or somebody else in the meeting that's agreed to do something, but I'm going to have to follow up on it to make sure it's done or check later. I'll write that down to almost as a to-do. It is a to-do item for me to follow up on it later. Also, sometimes thoughts jump into my head, like meditation when there's thoughts jumping in. During a discussion, there'll be other thoughts distracting me from listening to what we're talking about. Like maybe I'm terrible with pun jokes. So there might be a joke that pops into my head. And instead of like, I've got to remember this joke, which I don't really have to, I'll write a little note down just a couple words. And then even if I don't remember the joke, it'll tell my brain, you've written it down, you forgot about it. You won't forget about it. Or, you know, like one thing that I noticed recently was the light in my, on the back of my car, the light that shows the license plate, like shines on the license plate. You're supposed to have that light and mine's burnt out. I need to get that fixed. And so if that pops into my head during a meeting, I can't do anything about it in the meeting, but I'll just draw like write down light bulb or something. It's not like I'm going to forget about it, but writing something down allows me to trick my brain to stop thinking about it so I can focus on what's going on in front of me. Now, another thing I have a tendency to do is I have a tendency to write too much stuff down. And if I come away from a meeting with an entire 8.5 by 11 page of notes, or maybe 2 pages, I'm really probably not going to read all of that. So to try to reduce that, I've gone to a shorter format notebook, for instance, just like a 5, I don't even know what this is, 5 by 7 or a little smaller. And that's what I like to use to remind myself to be selective. So it's the, even though there's plenty of paper, the shape reminds me to be selective for what I'm writing down. So, why am I focusing on not writing stuff down? Well, one of the reasons is because I kind of have had this problem of writing too much for a long time. So in college, I would write tons of notes through high school and through a couple years of college. I was writing so much down. I didn't always review it, but I felt like it was good to have that down. But at one point my hand started hurting. So I'm right-handed. My right hand started hurting. My wrist was hurting. My shoulder. It was just, I was writing so much that I couldn't write anymore. So I had to kind of quit cold turkey. So I did get seen by a doctor, but until I did, I really just like had to stop. I had to stop doing so much. So I would go into for like a week. Actually, I don't remember how long it was. I would just not take notes. And this was, I panicked. Like, how can I go to college without taking notes? But I would just try to be present, to try to just listen to what's going on in the lecture and not think about other stuff and really pay attention. Now, that was a really good exercise in just trying to almost meditate on the lecture. And I think it was really good for me anyway. But after that, when I started going back to when my hand started feeling better, I could start taking notes again. I didn't want to get back into that problem. So I started being more selective about it. So more selective on what notes go down. So as soon as I hear something that I think I need to write down, I try to take a fraction of a second to think, do I really need to know this later? If the answer is no, don't write it down. Or I might really need to know this later, but does it just make sense to me and I'm probably going to remember it anyway? Well, then either don't write anything down or write a shorter keyword because I can just get it out of my head, stop thinking about it, but I know I'm going to remember it. Now, if it's something more complicated and I need to remember it, I will write more keywords or write a complete sentence. So being selective before it even hits the paper has helped me. Now there's the edit, that's just editing, like either writing it down or not. But there's the what I wrote down, like, you know, did I write the right keywords? Did I write in complete sentences or whatever? That's another story. Don't edit. I don't do grammar editing or anything like that when I'm writing it down. It's just to get it out of my head. Now next, what do I do with the notes? So after I've got notes, now in college, it was pretty easy. The notes are there for studying. And once the test is done or the quarter's done or something, you just throw away the notebook. Didn't need it. I didn't keep any of that stuff. But in work and life, it's different. So if I'm keeping a personal journal, that's a different story. That's great. But for like work or to-do items or this podcast or other stuff, what do I do with those notes? So as soon as I can, I'd like to go back to the notes and go through and make sure that there's squares by the to-do items or the things I need to follow up on. And I usually circle those also to make sure to remember that that is important. So the circle kind of means I've already edited it. I've got the important things. Now, the stuff that's not important, either I'll try to draw like a diagonal line through the stuff that I don't need to know about later, just to as an indication that I've already edited this page of notes and I don't need it. And oftentimes I don't need anything, and I just cross the whole thing off. And I really love to do that. I love to do it so much that so some of the to-do items might be just easy things like email so-and-so and ask a question. So just do that. I just go ahead and do that while I'm reviewing the notes, so then I can get rid of the whole thing. That's helpful. Now, that's what I like to do. I'm not always great about it, but at least once a week I like to go through it. And then at least once a month, try to go through the whole notebook and make sure that I didn't miss anything. But a month is way too long. Every few days, make sure I didn't miss any pages of notes. It's good. Now, after I've got those circled or action items ready, I don't like to keep it on paper. So I like to transfer those. Even if I haven't got it done, I don't want to keep a pile of notes to look up. So I'll transfer those to like GitHub or GitLab to-do items or tasks. Get those out of there, or on for personal stuff, I'll put it in one of the to-do apps on my phone, or email myself sometimes to remind myself with a time, like when I need to remember it, or put something on a calendar or something like that. To get it out of note form and into actionable form helps. I also am a creative person, so I've got I often keep pages separate pages at the beginning of my notebook with things like blog posts I'd like to write, or podcast article episodes I'd like to record, or research, or software projects I'd like to do, or different things like that, or art projects. Those are fine, and I don't really edit those too much, but I do like to keep a couple extra pages around those so that they can grow, and then I'll cross it off if I no longer want to do it or something like that, or have done it. That's great. But I just I keep way more lists of projects that I want to do than I actually do. So what's the point of that? I mean, even if I never do those, there is a point. And the point is to get it out of my head so I don't have to keep thinking about it, so that I can be present in what I'm working on. I want to talk a little bit about email, because email is writing it's kind of for yourself, but it's also for other people. So I think I'm pretty good at emailing people. I'm pretty short with my emails. Usually, I'm probably lying about that. I've written some long emails. Anyway, so one of the things I want to remind people of is email is not like texting, and it's not like a journal where you can't edit easily. Email, it's on your computer, so you can edit it. So that's what I want to remind people of, is get this stuff out of your head into an email and then edit it. Drafts are fine. You can store it as draft, especially if it's not like a nice email, if it's like talking about a problem. If it's urgent, get that out of there. Get it sent fast. But if it's not urgent, maybe sit on it a bit. So save it as a draft, come back later, review it. And there's a couple of tips that I like with emails that some people are just really bad at, and I used to be bad at. The first one is, if you're asking for somebody to do something, if there's an action that you want the person to do, have that action be in the subject line. So they can see when they're viewing their list of emails, you can see somebody's asking me to do something and this is what it is. Or at least, you know, please respond, or please take action on whatever. But having those actions in the subject helps the reader know that there's something you're asking them to do. The other thing is to have kind of one topic per email. So if you're asking somebody to like call somebody for you or order something or anything really, and you also were like, hey, while I'm talking to you, like in a conversation, you would go up to somebody, ask somebody to do something. But you, since you're there, you may as well ask them about their dog or ask them about other stuff. I don't really do that in work emails. I like to keep that separate, and you know, the asking about the dog or whatever is fine. But if you're asking about a bunch of things and you really need responses to two or three things, go ahead and put those in three separate emails, because then it's helping the other person. So then the other person can, once they've done one, if they responded to one, they can archive or delete that email, and the other two are still there, so they still haven't done those. So It's kind of like if you're asking somebody to do three different things and you have to have it in your subject line, that really kind of tells you they need to be three separate emails. I had this story about email that I was going to tell you, but it really wasn't about email. It was about an internal wiki, but it's the same sort of concept. We've got an internal wiki where several colleagues and I are discussing a architectural change, a change proposal on a wiki page. And I started getting working on this and realized that I didn't think the change was actually possible. So what I did is I thought all these thoughts about why it wasn't possible running around in my head. And so I went up and I started writing bullet points down to say, here's some background information. Here's some relevant facts about our current system. Here's some relevant facts about the framework that we're using and the changes that we want to do. And then I came to the conclusion that because of those, the change we were trying to make was not possible. And as soon as I wrote that down, it freed up stuff in my head and I looked at all the things and realized there was a constraint there that wasn't a real constraint. There was a data store, some state system state that was being held in one place. And what I really realized was that was the problem. If the state was moved somewhere else, if it was moved out of that, if that it was in the class, moved out of the class and made it globally available, like through an accessor function or something, or a little database entry, that would make the whole system work. So in getting all that done, I figured out how to solve the problem. So my intent was to argue the case that the change was not possible. And the effect of writing it down was to free up enough, get all that detail out of my head so that I could look at it separately. And actually I slept on it and came back and looked at it and realized, oh my God, that one constraint is not real. We can move it out. It doesn't change the API at all. And so I actually did. I slept on it. I came back the next day and I was able to, I was able to see the solution better and was able to prototype. I had been working on this for days and after just getting it out of my head, I was able to prototype a working change in a couple hours. And then I finished the entire system change in the rest of the day. And just getting that out of my head freed me to be able to creatively think about the solution. Really was great. I also, I had two conversations with my colleagues about this. And so their discussion really helped me with this. So of course, I also sent them a note and thanked them for working with me on the change. I'd also like to talk about other forms of writing. So that's wikis, internal wiki, email, little notes in a notebook. But I also do blog posts and wrote the same book twice. But so blog posts. When I started writing a blog, I just kind of wanted a technical blog, but I didn't know what to put there. So at the time I was using the version control system ClearCase. That was so many years ago. But there were things that I did every day. I didn't need to write those down. I did them every day. But there were some commands that I did once in a while that I would always forget. And so I would always look them up. So I kind of had this rule to myself that if I researched something that I know I've researched before. So this is the second time I've had to research how to do something. Then I would write a blog post so that I didn't have to research it again. I could just look at my own blog. It worked great. Now, the same thing is kind of true for my book. I did not just write the book for myself, the Python testing with PyTest. But actually, it is also for me. So my copy of Python testing with PyTest is totally beat up because it's at my desk. It's nearby all the time. I use it regularly. And actually, in that architectural change I was just talking about, there were like two parts that I had to look up. I needed to use this is irrelevant for just the concept of writing stuff down, but I'll tell you anyway. So I had to use, for the solution, I had to use PyTest generate tests. It's a PyTest hook function. And I needed to use that to parameterize a fixture based on the values being passed in by a marker and with marker arguments. And And then I had to either parameterize or not parameterize the fixture based on the value of those markers and how much parameterization was going to happen. And then also the value of the fixture needed to be available for the class or the tests also. And all of those pieces, you know, like I'm going to just remember all that stuff. It's a little bit detail-y. So I looked all those pieces up, were in the book. So that was awesome. I was able to, I'm grateful for my past self for writing that stuff down, and it helped me with the solution. So anyway, from taking quick notes to taking notes during a meeting to taking notes during listening to a lecture or something and writing things down for myself, to all of the things that I've written in blog posts and in the book, I'm grateful for all the time I've spent writing. So writing allows me to stop thinking about something. It allows me to listen better, and it allows me to remember things. It all seems so simple, but it's very powerful. Thank you for listening to Testing Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, you know, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.